Okay, shall we begin? I'm going to call the meeting to order at this time. And.
So let's watch ourselves.
Clerk, you want to call the roll?
Yes.
Commissioner Chi.
Present.
Commissioner Cole.
Present.
Commissioner Insani.
Here.
Commissioner Fuentes.
Present.
Commissioner Gaimi.
Here.
Commissioner Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Hing.
Here.
Commissioner Kennelly.
Here.
Commissioner Kong.
Here.
Commissioner Maldonado. Commissioner Molodetskaya.
Present.
Commissioner Moses. Commissioner Ng is excused. Commissioner Pass.
Here.
Commissioner Tom is excused. And the commission has a quorum.
Okay, thank you. So the members of the public may address the commission on items not appearing on the agenda for a period of time not to exceed 3 minutes. Speakers shall address their remarks to the commission as a whole and not to individual commissioners or department personnel. So I understand that we have one person who has signed up, Clarissa Sanchez from Catholic Charities. Welcome back.
She came back.
She was here last. Good afternoon, commissioners. I come to you today not as an immigration counselor over at the Refugee and Immigrant Services Program at Catholic Charities, but rather as a concerned citizen that is hoping to promote more of the awareness and advocacy on behalf of doing away with the horrible anti-immigrant laws that are in Arizona as well as in Alabama. I'm sure you have all been aware, but if in case you haven't, there's a campaign that has been put forward by the ACLU here in Northern California called Estamos Unidos. And this campaign, if you have yet not heard about it, what it does is to do exactly what I just mentioned, to set out the word to promote against anti-immigrant laws. And what they did is back in April, they set out of here, of San Francisco, a van completely promoting this campaign that set and went across country, all throughout California in 5 different cities, into Arizona, Chicago, Alabama, and Colorado, and other states as well. So today, I would hope and invite all of you to please take part in this campaign if you haven't yet already. I have a petition here that I'd be happy to circulate amongst all of you, and any flyers. I also have a few flyers that I'd be happy to leave as well, and would hope that you would take this information back to your respective agencies. I know as a Catholic organization, there are things that we do not agree with as an organization, not as a person, but as an organization that we do not agree with the ACLU. However, when it comes to anti-immigrant laws, this is something that I know we support, even though yet we haven't come out publicly to do it. But as I mentioned, I come as an immigrant advocate, hoping that we can gain your support in being a part of this, and hope that you would take this information back to your respective agencies. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any clarifying questions?
Yeah, I have one. What is the purpose of the van?
The purpose
And then the title?
Estamos Unidos in Spanish is We Are United. And even though the push and the people behind it have been going to cities that are predominantly, or went to cities that are predominantly Latino, this not only affects the Latino community, it affects all of our immigrant communities, and we would hope that everybody would come on board. Now, as far as the van went out to all of these different cities speaking against these anti-immigrant laws so that the information is disseminated out there about the importance of speaking against them in creating more advocacy efforts at the grassroots level, as well as collecting the stories of the people that are being affected by these terrible laws, especially in Alabama. There are some videos posted online at the ACLU as well as a Facebook website that you may see when you are available to have some time. And that pretty much is the campaign. They are already back. They had the way that I learned about this was just through another meeting that I had gone to and just talking to folks actually at Immigrant Day. They had a table there promoting this. And they invited me to an event last week where they talked about how the van is already back. So now their struggle is even harder than ever because anti-immigrant groups are coming up against them. So we need to mobilize and just get the word out there that it not only affects the Latino community, but all of our immigrant communities, and hopefully this information can be spread out more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms.
Thank
Sanchez.
You.
Any other public comments? Seeing none, let's move to action item number three, the action item relating to the approval of the previous minutes.
Can I ask one question?
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Do you ask if any of us who are interested in signing a petition, where would that be available?
Clarissa.
You're making the, Ms. Sanchez? Commissioner Hale asks, where's the petition? Are you going to be circulating that?
Yes, sir. Yeah. I have them right here as well as some flyers, too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Approval of the last minutes. Is there any motion to accept the last minutes?
I move we accept the last minutes.
Commissioner Hale has moved.
Any I second, second it.
Second. Mm-hmm. Any comments, corrections? Hearing none, the minutes will be deemed approved. Item four, an update on the San Francisco Police Department car impoundment policy and the possible approval of a letter. Staff, can you give us an update on how we came about the information and what information we collected?
Commissioners, at your last meeting, a member of the public raised the issue, I believe it was the same speaker from earlier today, about whether or not the police department's current policy on car towing for unlicensed drivers is still in effect or if it's expiring. So after staff did a little bit of background checking, we thought it was a police general order, and a GO does not expire, but this was issued on a police bulletin. So it was kind of like a clarification or an addendum to the existing GO. Apparently it does have an expiration date, although it doesn't say so on the document. So we've sent a message on your behalf to the chief just to check, and I'm sure he's open to renewing it. It's just something that maybe wasn't on his radar. But meanwhile, staff went ahead and drafted a letter for you. And this hopefully captures your previous conversation, just encouraging the police department to renew the policy and ideally reissue it as a general order so that it's a standing order rather than something that has to be renewed. But just as background, the policy, as you know, you were deeply involved as a commission with some of the complaints from the immigrant community about car impoundments and towing away and the adverse effect that this had on a very vulnerable, low-income individuals who really had no recourse and didn't speak the language, so they didn't speak English, and nothing was provided in no bilingual notices, so they really didn't know what was happening. The police department, as a result of your advocacy and the communities, changed its policy to provide guidelines for police officers to use discretion. And so there are a number of things and the policies attached for you. So this letter just encourages the police department to renew the bulletin.
Commissioner Cole, you actually had raised this issue as well previously offline. Do you have any further information?
No, I think this is also what I was told when I inquired. So I think I appreciate the staff confirming it through official channels, and I think it's a really important issue, and this is a great letter. I think it's a great start.
And again, off the record, Commissioner Maldonado had expressed some surprise that this had expired, because she, I think it was subsequent to the last meeting, she indicated that she had not heard of any particular problems with respect to the expiration of the of this policy, which was back in October. I guess I'm wondering if any other commissioners have heard of any problems dealing with car impoundment.
Nope.
And our office has not received a single complaint since this policy was adopted. But and we're not really sure this has expired. I'm waiting for the chief to respond to a really informal message I sent to him about, do you know if this is still in effect? Because it actually doesn't have an expiration date on it.
Right.
Read it, but it could be that bulletins expire after 3 years.
Yeah, that was the nature of the communication from Commissioner Chan from the police commission, that the police commission understands that it expired in October.
And it's just at this point, you know, we've just gotten a couple of inquiries, so no complaints at all, just wondering if this is still in effect.
So it's speculation, but it may very well be possible that the police on the street are still following this policy anyway.
Mm-hmm. And we that can change sense. The letter to say may have recently expired, if that's more accurate.
Do we know what the consequence is if a police officer doesn't use these guidelines and the car is towed? Does the person, because the worry would be having to pay for it if you're so vulnerable.
Right. It would just revert back to the policy where there's no discretion. And you're immediately told, and you know, and then you're fined. You have to pay the fees to remove it. Where this one gives you some guidances and some opportunity for an unlicensed driver to have somebody in the household who can assist them.
Commissioner, are you asking, is there a remedy if a mistake is made?
Yes, exactly. What happens? Is there a remedy if a police officer does not follow these guidelines and, in effect, tows the car?
Oh, like a penalty?
Yeah. I looked at the – do we have a copy of the – we have a copy of the
order,
right? But it doesn't allude to any remedy.
Right.
No.
And most officers receive this through their training bulletin so that they're sort of reminded on an ongoing basis of this policy. You're not, my sense is most of them are probably following this policy, and it's probably been effective for the fact that there's been no complaints raised before the commission or so.
The current concern that was raised to me, from community members was that their understanding was that it was good for 2 years and that unless it was renewed, it would automatically expire. So if that's not true, that's fine. And if police officers are following it, that's fine too. But ideally, I think the good thing about the letter is that it clarifies that ideally this should be reissued as a general order, which is better policy, particularly if it's being followed to good effect already. I do think our county and this policy has been a model for other parts of the state as well. So I think it's also great to foreground our leadership on this and reaffirm it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do I hear a motion that the letter be executed?
Motion to execute.
I'll move.
Okay.
And I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item five, an update on the District 3 and District 6 neighborhood meetings. Who will lead the discussion on that?
Oh, okay. Commissioners, the staff did check with both Supervisor Kim and Supervisor Chu's offices for dates. So I believe we have settled on July 16th. Is that correct, Ms. Chow?
Yes, the last
for District 3, and we are currently Commissioner Fuentes and Ms. Chow are looking for a venue.
Correct.
The supervisor's office would like to focus on small business issues in the community, along with language access and safety.
Okay, July 16th, as commissioners of the members of the commission understand, is a 16th and is a Monday, and that would substitute for our regularly scheduled meeting. That would be our regularly scheduled meeting, which was previously scheduled for
that
July
9th. That would replace
9th.
Your regularly scheduled meeting of July 9th.
Right. I wonder if we can get an informal sense from those members here how many are available July 16th.
I will not be available. I'll be in Canada.
I'm out of town that week.
How many members here are available July 16th?
I can be.
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
The justice.
It would be embarrassing if only a couple people
were
available.
It's a
So those of you who raised your hand, we've got your name now. We're in deep trouble if you don't show up that day.
That's District 3.
Yep.
Okay, location to follow. And has there been a date designated for District 6?
District 6, they are available on either September 10th or the 17th. Does the commission have a preference?
Repeat those dates?
The 10th of September or the 17th?
What day are they?
Those are Mondays.
Both Mondays.
Okay, good.
Should we get a sense again, unofficially, from the current members, of the present members, how many are available on Monday, September 10th?
I believe I will be.
Okay.
Moses?
Okay. Gosh,
that
that's unanimous.
Okay.
Let's just stick with that.
Okay. And they did give us some topics, too, that they would like to discuss. Immigrant access to small business development training resources. How do immigrant constituents address concerns around health hazards like, I guess it's habitability? Habitability, is that how you pronounce it?
Hazardability.
Yeah. How do immigrant constituents address concerns around health hazards like mold, safety problems in their buildings, building improvements, et cetera?
Substandard
housing. So those are the two issues that Supervisor Kim would like the commission to address.
So I'm sorry, so one is health hazards, the other one is what?
Business, immigrant access to small business development training resources.
And what are districts 3 and 6?
District 3 is the area around Chinatown and it's Telegraph Hill, Knob Hill,
parts
of
North Beach.
And North Beach area.
Yeah, North Beach area. And District 6 is South of Market, Tenderloin, the surrounding Civic Center area, part of Civic Center.
Great. Part of downtown also, right? Does the financial district fall within District 6?
Yes.
I think so. I think part of it falls
There's
within District 3, too.
It's 3 and 6.
Yeah, it gets divided, that's true. So there's a lot of businesses.
Yeah.
How is outreach done for these meetings?
For those two supervisorial offices, I don't think there's a problem. They do a lot of grassroots outreach, so the staff and the commission usually partner with them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably overlap a lot, but yeah.
Yeah,
they're good at getting the audience there.
And we also want to send out the outreach committee. We send the flyers and emails. All we have to do now is get the location and then we can send the flyer already. Yeah. So.
And what is the format of these types of meetings?
The general format is you run it like a regular meeting, except that you focus the agenda items on the topics that you agreed with at the supervisor's office. The chair of the commission presides, and usually at the front end, you have the supervisor as the host make some opening remarks for you.
And the topics that they designated, they will make sure that there are speakers there to address those topics, or do we have an obligation to do that as well?
We both, because it's twofold. The commission can inform the supervisor about the work that it's doing with the community, mm-hmm. and then the community informs the commission on what issues are important to it.
And we have city departments usually present.
You can request city departments to appear before you at those meetings.
Oh, and to be there for people who ask questions. It's not.
Commissioner Hill, you want to lean in?
I'm
a
sorry. Too far away.
Because we can't.
I can hear you perfectly.
We can't.
But you have people, city departments there so that they can answer questions. We don't let them talk. We introduce them. But then the audience may have concerns that they can answer and will be directed to them, and that has happened at every one of ours where we've had people that they have questions, usually of police and health and I guess small business. We haven't had one on that before, but the language issue always comes up, and employment and education.
Can I suggest that since the next meeting is our next meeting, the one in District 3, that that staff email us again the topics, and if commissioners have recommendations as to city department representatives, that we express those to you as soon as possible, and if staff is in agreement or wants to discuss that we discuss that at the executive committee meeting prior to the July.
We can do that.
Just so that we are on the same page in terms of whether or not it's mm-hmm. a good or bad idea to have particular people there.
Okay. Yeah, we can. We'll be glad to send something out tomorrow with the topics and the dates, and then you can just get back to either Ms. Chow or myself, and then we'll contact the departments if there's. I don't know how, if you have one commissioner who wants them or a majority of commissioners. It's up to you how you want to decide.
Can I make also a recommendation? Mm-hmm. Since Chair Heng is asking the question, it's a very good question. Can we have any of the follow-ups of the other neighborhood meetings that we've had in the past so Chair Heng could actually know what we did and what was the follow-up, what was the role of these neighborhoods, I mean, kind of effectiveness measurement, what, you know, how did we do? I mean, did we kind of, you know, what did we accomplish? And kind of, you know, did we accomplish our goal? What was the purpose? I mean, something of the past, because I presume this is, I mean, since I've been here, we've had these neighborhood meetings. Kind of, it's some sort of even summary. For me, even it would be interesting to see some sort of effectiveness measurement of our efforts.
Yeah, I... To be more specific, are there examples of things that emanated from those meetings yeah. that we acted on?
Yeah, exactly.
That,
yes.
That we could be reminded yeah. of? Because
yeah. We can provide you with a summary, but just two that come to mind are the Muni fare enforcement saturation stops, which resulted in staff arranged a meeting directly with the head of the MTA and commissioners, and we were able to get them to stop their approach. Mm-hmm. And then, what was the second? Oh, the second one was the car impoundments. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But which neighborhood were they?
Because Excelsior.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. the Mission.
And the Mission.
D9 and D11.
Yeah, I think she has a very good point. Since our president is relatively new, it might be a good idea that our executive director kind of brief him, because there are a lot of procedures that need to go through when you go to town hall meeting like that, or it could get so rowdy, and the president is the one who will really take control. Mm-hmm. Usually during public comments, commission don't engage in dialogue. It will just be through you to the public.
Okay. Yeah.
If not, it can go out of control.
Yeah. Thank you.
Exactly.
I'll be looking for a lieutenant to be helping.
We'll be glad to do that.
Yes.
You can say this. In terms of place, what about the recreation center building on top of Portsmouth Garage?
Oh.
We had one there once. Mm-hmm. It is part of Park and Rec.
Park and Rec, yeah.
And it's about as convenient as you can get for drivers and bus riders.
We'll check on that tomorrow, because yeah. the Park and Rec owes us a couple of favors.
Yep.
So that might be. We've been looking at the I Hotel, City College.
Yeah, I can give you a little update on that. You know, I called the International Hotel, and they said they're available that date, but they only the room only holds 60 people. Gordon Lau Elementary School, that I also call them, but they are in a summer break right now. And then I called City College, Chinatown Campus. But they opened to the public 5 days ago, and they are not ready for this kind of business. That's what they told me this morning.
They have plenty of empty room.
And then
closing down, yeah.
And then I just have to wait to hear from the Hilton, the financial district, and from Suli Chinese Historical Society. Okay. Those are the ones that I'm still haven't talked to them.
So we could follow up on the Record yeah. Park room, because that one we have a direct close yeah. relationship with them. So that would be very easy. Yeah. To
we had one before there, and it was full, but it's...
Where is the room?
It's a building on top of...
On top of the garage.
Square garage.
Parking, right across the street from the Hilton Hotel, from the Financial District. There is a room with glass all over. It's pretty nice.
I've been there for years.
Yeah, you haven't seen it?
It used to be there. It's relatively new.
We had a meeting before there.
Yeah, we did have one there.
Staff should get to Chinatown a little bit more often.
I'm there all the time. I just never look up.
Okay, thank you. That's exciting.
That was, yeah.
And thanks for all the suggestions from fellow commissioners. Appreciate that. Okay, so item six is the update on the legislative agenda. Commissioner Paz and Vice Chair Fuentes.
Yeah, I just really briefly, you know,
This is it.
I started this, like, you remember, like a couple months ago, and I passed it to Commissioner Paz, and, because we were trying to get what was the local impact, I believe, of those these legislations. And Commissioner Paz did send us a document on Friday, and I believe that there is a lot of effects in the locally, right?
Yeah, at the suggestion of the commission, we did follow, we tried to follow through on and try to determine some potential local impact on some of the pending legislative bills. And we basically just followed, we went to the IPC information website and tried to see what we can get in terms of recent status reports on some of these bills, because we felt first that was important. And then try to determine what is potential local impact. Most of it is related to California-wide. We still don't have any details on potential local impact in San Francisco. And I use an example, AB 1081. There's actually a hearing on the Senate floor tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we expect that to continue to hopefully move forward. We try to determine in terms of how, you know, what has actually happened in California. The CIPC indicates about 60,000 Californians have been deported due to the controversial secure communities, as you know. Now, we don't have any specific data of San Francisco, mm-hmm. but we know from our local advocacy groups and community-based organizations that there are hundreds of families impacted locally. And I think what would be great is to see if we can actually get some firm numbers for local San Francisco mm-hmm. somehow. And I'm not sure. We're going to, both Felix and I are going to try to research that, how we can get some actual numbers for San Francisco. I think it would be important to know that. And I wanted to refer AB 1089 and refer you to SB 1064, which I think is a really, it's a very interrelated bill, because this one's about reuniting immigrant families. As you know, one of the real negative consequences of SCOM is that the families get torn apart. Most of our immigrant families are in mixed status situations. This is where really children are really, you know, there's some really adverse detriments to children if a parent, if a custodial parent is picked up under the SCOM. And so there is, this bill is moving through the floor. I wasn't able to get the most recent status, but you can read some of the local impact in terms of what protections the bill will provide for, particularly for children where and for the family that, where there's an issue where there's a parent that may be picked up for because of the lack of because of their immigration status, and then mm-hmm. there will be some protections and stuff for the family to keep the children with the family, which is one of the big, big issues under this bill. There's other that we've tried to update you on in terms of potential local impacts. SB 1313, that has actually moved pretty much forward, but it's been held in Senate and Appropriations currently. So that is more of a funding issue, I believe, at this point. And wasn't able to get any real updates yet on AB 899, even though there's lots. I was hoping Commissioner Cole could kind of provide a full update on that.
Yeah,
I know she's been really involved.
No,
with
I
this
volunteered
bill.
To do that.
Yeah, no. So, but I know there's a lot going on with that bill in the state, so it'd be great to get a full update on that. But what we're going to try to do is really try to really hone down to actually San Francisco. It's going to try to see if we can get some quantitative numbers for San Francisco on some of the local impact.
Yeah, I think that we can get some information from the There are some numbers in the PowerPoint presentation from the San Francisco Defense Right Committee right. that Angela Chan has been doing all right. this time. Mm-hmm. And I do believe that there are some numbers about exactly how many people have been affected in San Francisco.
We actually included it in our letter in support of the bill, actually got the I believe. Number. Yeah.
And is I think that an updated
numbers,
number?
Those numbers are excavated from the Sheriff's Department okay. because the Sheriff's Department is supposed to keep track of
right.
when they respond to ICE detainers and actually turn people over. But my sense was that the numbers that we used and the numbers that were given in the community groups were very conservative.
Right.
And so that's if, I mean, I don't know what the staff time on this is, but it would, it probably would bear some further investigation if people really wanted firmer numbers. It's not clear to me. We're probably using very conservative underestimates of what the actual impact is locally. So.
Can I ask what our goal is here? Is our goal to our the commission express support for one or more of these, for us to urge San Francisco members of the Assembly and the Senate to support these, to get the Board of Supervisors to resolve support for these? What, or am I leaving something out or missing something?
Chair, it could be any of those
all.
Items.
Or all.
I think, yeah, any or yeah, all. All I think locally you want to make sure that the policy does not dilute the sanctuary city provisions mm-hmm. And that you've been very consistent on where you stand on that. You know, there are a number of things you can do besides writing letters. You could hold a hearing. You have the power to convene a hearing. You can use that as one of the subjects for one of the upcoming neighborhood meetings. So there are a number of things you could do. You can do a joint hearing if you want with another commission or like the police commission.
Yeah,
you
I
can
mean,
have some
I,
conversation with the police chief and his staff.
We might also want to contact the sponsors of the legislation and ask their view on what would be helpful to them, assuming that we support the legislation. Yeah.
Can the commission's legislative team do that?
Just follow. Yeah.
On your
yeah,
behalf?
If possible. If that's not too much work, which is to contact the sponsors and find out what would be helpful. And if that becomes burdensome, you should let us know. We can figure out a different way of accomplishing that. Did you have a comment, Ms. Sanchez? 2 seconds.
Just returning to AB 1064, the Trust Act, it will be held tomorrow in the Senate Public Safety Committee. And if yet it has not been noted, there is a bill by Assemblywoman Mitchell. It is called the Fair Access to Immigrant Education Act, which pretty much it's a very easy fix to a flaw in the law that would simply provide those who have been awarded a U visa status to be able to receive in-state tuition. Currently that is available to refugees, but it has not been made available to victims of crime. Easy fix, a lot of support for it, so I just wanted to bring that to the
Thank
commission's
you. Can
attention.
Can you get us yeah, the bill number?
1899, yes, sir. It is on the, great.
We have it hidden that.
Great, yeah. Wonderful.
The one that dropped off was, I think, Assemblywoman Maas, wasn't there? Wasn't she moving something?
Yeah,
or is that
well, that was the car impoundment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That was the car impoundment that we need to add, yeah.
All right, so car impoundment.
Yeah.
But the state people are often easy to reach on Fridays in San Francisco. Like Amiano and Leno. Leno probably isn't around this week because mm-hmm. he's chair of the Senate Appropriations Committee.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Any other questions of Commissioner Paz and Chair Fuentes on this issue?
Yeah.
Or comment?
But we will follow the recommendation to follow up with the sponsors and get some and ask for their
okay.
their insight.
Again, if
and
it's
so
burdensome. We can figure out a different way of getting that feedback. Right. Okay. Thank you very much. And thanks for the excellent draft here.
Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
I know when CIPC first sent this out, it was for people to support for the immigrant rally day. Was there much, the people who went to that, was there much comment about the bills there?
Jeff Fuentes, did you attend?
Yeah, I did go. I was a little disappointed, to be honest with you, that I didn't see the same number of people that we saw the year before. I was asking the advocates about it, and most of them, they told me that was because of the budget cuts, that they couldn't get money to rent buses to bring people to that day, because it was kind of like, I don't know how many people, but not even half of what they were there last year, like the year before. And what I did, you know, because I went with some groups of San Francisco to different offices to advocate and to ask them to support all these bills. So that's basically what we did that day. So,
So they assumed everybody.
And I present, you know, I was telling that I was there in behalf of the Immigrant Rights Commission. We also submitted a copy of the LAO report the same day, telling that what we were doing in San Francisco, and that was a lot of, you know, enthusiasm about what we do here in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's disappointing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe next time around we can think of an alternative that give folks a San Francisco site to to voice their support, even if they can't make it to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And try to get that covered.
Yeah.
But anyway, just a thought. Thank you.
Quick question.
Commissioner Moses?
Since this item is action item, what do we do? Because the hearing starts tomorrow, do we send a letter, or what would be the action?
We haven't
already
sent a letter on trust.
We already sent a letter of support for the Trust Act. Trust.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember,
we
you know,
sent a letter.
We already did it.
You did?
We submitted a letter.
Yeah. Okay, so that should be action.
Yeah. I think the action was to adopt the agenda.
Yeah, just to basically
priorities.
Adopt the agenda, and we'll continue to update. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry. I skipped over that. So we need to...
entertain a motion.
Yeah, entertain a motion to accept the legislative agenda as described.
So move.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Item number 7, which is a report on the language access violations and complaints. Director Pond?
Commissioners, in accordance with the LAO, each city department that provides services or information to the public also has to apply the requirement to have complaint processes clearly posted and written and available to the public. So between January and May of this year, May 31st, we received 4 complaints directly to our office. As you recall, last year, while departments reported a number of complaints, they actually only forwarded a handful of those complaints to our office, and we follow up on each complaint. So 4 were received, 3 from Tier 1 departments, 1 from the MTA. We're not, this is just a summary that you have before you. We have the actual written complaints, and then the staff follows up with the department to see if that was resolved to the residents or the complainant's satisfaction. But 1 was the MTA, and we're not sure if that was related to language. It was a apparently monolingual individual, but the complaint was not about lack of language services, but that the officer was I guess the MTA officer, traffic officer, was rude as her car was being towed away. But that's pretty consistent. They're always. and then the planning department complaint. So they attached a public notice that was posted in the community. However, there was no evidence that that was translated into any languages. And it affects a lot of individuals. And then the PUC complaint was the Hetch Hetchy campaign. The ads are poorly written in Spanish. Now, I guess we can work directly with the department. I don't know how they translate their own items. So you have to give them credit for at least translating it, but now we can work with them to make sure the quality of the translation is equally as good. And that's one of the departments that actually has done a really good job of complying with the LAO and working with our office.
I'm curious, how did you determine that the translation was poor?
Yeah.
The person did.
Good question.
Who complained.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the person filed a complaint.
And that's what we have to follow up. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times, for instance, even the Board of Supervisors' own speaker card at one time. Commissioner Fuentes noted that it had a mistranslation. So, you know, the card says, if you want to speak, you know, fill out the card and give it to the chair. And the translation for chair was the one you sit on, not the president. So those little things will happen every once in a while.
Google.
Yeah. And we're working with Google a lot translate. Of departments. Even the Board of Soup's own Google Translate tool really creates a lot of problems for the three Chinese supervisors who they had a constituent actually go in and translate every single page on their individual websites, and even their names were mistranslated. So our office had to go and translate everything manually for them, and even that isn't perfect, because if they go in anywhere else on the website, then you go back to the same problem. It's machine translation is an imperfect tool, and you know, we're looking at the best hybrid solution to that. And then the last complaint was 311. Caller was not able to obtain assistance in Spanish, which is really interesting.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Because they have on-site customer service reps. So it could have been at that moment that they were all occupied and they couldn't get the language line contact on. They're usually pretty consistent. Yeah, it's very unusual. But we'll be following up on all these complaints. And if you want to see the individual complaints after they're resolved, or even before they are, we will make those available to you.
Quick question. Mm-hmm. Do we give them a deadline to comply? For example, PUC, do we say, okay, we need to hear from you by July ending?
So we can do that.
Right. If not, they can just be sitting on it and don't do anything.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We could do that. And then, you know, I think the IRC can enforce it. Mm-hmm. Like when we send them a note, we could say the IRC would like this resolved within 30
days.
Yeah,
that would wake them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good idea.
I just wanted to make a comment on the committee that heard the language access and President Chu's queries of agencies, selected agencies that were brought in. He was very good at pressuring them, and the police department, which he could have pressured harder, and building management, which has done nothing but has some kind of media scheme. And I remembered when Heather Fong went to such labor to get a full police department process and included getting it approved by the police commission and us twice before it was finalized, and police department, their response was very poor. I don't know what happened to the one that was done two chiefs ago, but it was certainly better than this one that was presented. But he was very good at nailing them down, and people brought, there were a group of Palestinian women who came to complain about the Board of Education language. Teachers don't have Arabic language assistance. But I thought it was a very good meeting, and good to see that President Chu was willing to give them a hard time, those who are not doing well.
Mm-hmm. Good, and that reminded me, thank you for those of you who did have time to attend that presentation.
Yeah, through the chair of commissioners, we want to thank you too, because it really gave the staff a lot of confidence to know that our commissioners were behind us on this. It was an excellent hearing. Yeah. I think the whole, you know, approach was not to beat up departments, but to the supervisor did call them out where they were missing or where there were gaps. Some departments didn't show up as a result of that, but I thought it was very positive. It was a very positive hearing, and we're currently following up with some of those departments on things that were per the direction of President Chu. So I think it was very effective. And then you probably know that during the supervisor budget hearings, Supervisor Carmen Chu also added, you know, there were five criteria that she's questioning departments on, and the fifth criteria item is whether or not what they're doing to meet the requirements of the language access law. So this is for the very first time that, you know, we've only been implementing this really for 2 years since the law was amended by in 2009. It didn't take effect until the following year. Mm-hmm. So it's only been 2 years, and we're already seeing a lot of results. Mm-hmm. I think departments are trying their best, but not always able to comply in the way that they would like to. So the hearing linking this to language access to the budgeting process is highly effective, right, Commissioner Fuentes?
Yes.
Yeah, it mm-hmm. really puts the right kind of pressure on departments to do the right thing and better serve our monolingual and limited English-speaking residents.
Yeah. Well, thank you for recognizing and thanking the commissioner who were present at those meetings. We have to commend you too, you and your staff, because I was at the Rules Committee last time, and the way you articulated, the way you presented, so it looked like, you know, sometimes you don't need commissioners to be at this meeting because you always speak on our behalf. So we have to commend you for that.
Thank you.
Here, here. And yeah, congratulations to the staff and the commission for the hard work that you've done.
Thank you. And I wanted to mention, too, that two of my staff members, you know, it's not that I'm chicken, but I like to share the wealth. So when I make these presentations, I always want to give our staff an opportunity to also co-present with me. So Whitney Chow, for the very first time, made a presentation before on the budget part of the wow. LAO to the commissioners, and she did an outstanding job.
Wow, that's great.
Thank you very much for your hard work. Any other questions on the LAO that folks may have or comments? Okay, thanks. So, director and staff reports?
We just have one item really quick, commissioners, that we've been really busy for the last few weeks providing information on the commission and all of our work for the budget hearings ours gets wrapped up into the city administrator's general service agency's budget, but I think we're going to all come out okay in the process, and it's just been a lot of work. So if you see some of us with less hair than we had a month ago, it's because it's a pretty grueling process. So right now, the Board of Supervisors is conducting hearings and reviewing. The budget analyst is going over the budgets submitted by departments. And then the last piece of this will be the add-back process, where they add back if there's anything left over, mm-hmm. Funds for specific projects.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Before I go to new business, I see a green sheet there. Mm-hmm. There's another member of the public who has appeared to request time to testify. And so I'll give him 3 minutes at this time. Can you help me with the pronunciation of your last name, sir? Would you take the microphone? Go ahead. You've got 3 minutes.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Hong, and thank you also the other commissioners. My name is John Borojaroge. I'm originally from Kenya, Africa, and I wanted to make a few comments to you today, just referring to the Millennium Development Goals. I would like to propose publicly, in keeping with the 2015 Millennium Development Goals, that the African Union, in conjunction with the AfriCities Alliance, purchase San Francisco city and county revenue bonds, such as water, utilities, and power, in three tranches, in June only, in 2013, 2014, and 2015, so as to participate in securing their financial partners and donors' commitments to the Millennium Development Goals, especially the United States and California, and also to ensure their own fiscal responsibility and accountability to their own nations, peoples, and languages, and myself included. And that's basically. basically my comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right. Any questions from commissioners or clarification?
No.
Thank you. Turning to new business, is there any new business that any commissioners would like to raise? I actually have one thing that I want to mention that's been swirling around the legal community the last month, and that's the application to the state bar admission by an undocumented dreamer who passed the bar exam, I think it's 2009. Mm-hmm. And his name is Sergio Garcia, and he hasn't been admitted. And the California Supreme Court, in a very unusual process, asked the applicant, asked the state bar to submit briefs on five issues related to whether or not the applicant should be admitted to the bar. The state bar actually recommended admission back in November. But it's being briefed again, and those briefs are due on June 18th, and the Supreme Court of California asks anyone else who wants to comment on this case can submit a brief as well a month later, July 18th. So it's actually kind of a big issue because at least in two other states, for example, Florida, the issue has surfaced as well, whether or not an undocumented person should be eligible to become a member of the state bar. But it also implicates licensing in general because, as you might imagine, the issue is whether or not a license should be issued to an undocumented person. And there are many, not just small business owners, but people who are undocumented who need to apply for licenses. And it's expected that many anti-immigrant groups will be chiming in by July 18th. I just want to point that out. I don't have a good idea or a suggestion on what role, if any, the commission should play, but I wanted people to be aware of that issue.
I have a question. Is there any precedence? Like, are there any other dreamers who have applied for other kinds of licenses, like a medical exam, architectural, engineering license?
Up until this point, every license you can imagine has been issued to an undocumented person,
oh, wow.
Including I know many undocumented attorneys in the state of California. That has not been an issue before. And the state bar decided to make it an issue. The state Supreme Court decided to make it an issue very recently. Mm. But I know undocumented persons who hold all different sorts of licenses because it's not a violation of the employer sanctions laws. As you know, an employer cannot hire an undocumented person, but somebody who's undocumented can become an independent contractor without violating the employer sanctions laws. And so this, it's a big deal if a license is required to become an independent contractor in particular professions, carpentry, beauticians, you know, anything like that. And I think it would affect a lot of people in San Francisco.
One follow-up question. Do they actually ask if you are, what's your status, what's your citizenship?
The state bar does ask now.
On the application?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Commissioner?
No, I was just going to say on the application when you fill it out, it asks what your status is.
Right.
Yeah.
But before they kind of didn't make a big deal out of it, mm-hmm. And now they are.
You know, there's a reason, a rationale for making a big deal out of it now?
I think there was political pressure put on the California Supreme Court. Does California Supreme Court, well, I'll tell you off the record my view of the California Supreme Court.
We'd love to hear it. Off the record.
Would you like the staff to do a little research on that, or?
I'd like the staff to do some thinking if there's a role that we can play to chime in on. But
it seems to me that our sanctuary policy is one role, and the DREAM Act that's been passed in California, I mean, that's going to become a bigger issue because the California DREAM Act does not give anybody legal status for sure at the end. But it seems to me that it's good they're standing out there, and that it would be good to support them, because we support both Dream Act and Sanctuary, and some of us support legalization sooner rather than later.
Now, one could argue that the state that not giving a bar license is inconsistent with AB 540 and the more recent tuition legislation.
Right.
That if you're going to allow undocumented students to go to college and professional schools and even be eligible for certain types of scholarships, then isn't it kind of inconsistent that you don't allow them to apply for a license that's a result of that education? You could argue that that's inconsistent.
Well, in general, that would be actually an argument with the Dream Act that, you know, you invest in these young people to go all the way to get their degrees, and then you want to deport them. So that's kind of consistent with that. But then the licensing is something
that particular
else.
Client, Sergio Garcia, is very, very, very appealing. He's lived here since he's 17 months.
Oh, my God.
Okay. And
yeah, there's something in the paper.
No crime, of course, no conviction.
Do you know where he resides?
You know, I should know that, but I can't remember. Okay. He is up here in Northern California, but I can't remember.
Maybe we should invite him to come to your next meeting.
Yes. That would be great if we hear from him.
So, Commissioner, what do you suggest we could do? Because there is a broader precedent. I mean, there is an alarming precedent that can set in terms of it gets applied to other sectors, and as you said,
right.
I mean, it's a little bit alarming that this has been taken up.
Yeah,
and what kind of precedent you can set.
Us doing something, the commission doing something, would be consistent with part of our legislative agenda, even though it's not legislation.
Right.
It's a state action.
It's a policy.
It's a policy,
it's a policy issue.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe the staff should look into this, and then
the staff will be glad to work with the legislative policy committee,
and we can discuss it in an executive committee. I like the idea if the commission is open of inviting Mr. Garcia.
Yes, I think that would
speak.
Be
good.
You know, our next meeting is the Chinatown meeting, but maybe we can have him anyway.
Okay.
Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Any other new business?
If we want to put something on the agenda, do we come to the executive committee to talk about it, or what? Because I know last time...
Director, what's the procedure for getting something on the agenda?
You can submit it to the executive committee, or if you miss the deadline, just send it directly to Ms. Chow or myself, and we will make sure it gets on the agenda.
Plus, I remember at one of our meetings, we suggested maybe we should invite the new Administrative Officer Naomi Kelly to come and address our commission, but look like kind of die down or something.
We sent a formal letter at your request, but she's been engaged in the budget meetings, and it's her very first round. So I think after that calms down, she has indicated she's interested in meeting with the commission, definitely.
That's good.
Will she have someone provide budget figures for us? The items in the immigrants' rights. My very first year on this commission, we got a budget pulled out of the city administrator's budget, and we have not had a clear one since, but we have had items.
Yes, and I've made that argument every year for the last 4 years. but I think this year we should have enough coverage in the overall budget to cover some of the expenses, but I haven't seen the final budget yet.
Right. Yeah, but we'd have to ask her to ask somebody, her staff, to extricate what.
Yeah, I
the
think
items
once
for
once we aside. Develop that good relationship like we did before, Mayor Lee, when he used to be the chief, you know, he was very close to us, always advising us and also attending our meetings. I think we need to develop the same relationship with Naomi. So maybe we can address that question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any other new business? Hearing none, the meeting's hereby adjourned. Thank you.
Wow.
Adjourned, thank you.
Wow.